Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. What's going on, everybody? Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you enjoyed, hopefully, some good weather. I know we had some good weather here in Chicago, and should be a pretty crazy, hectic week. And, of course, it immediately started last night when the Globex system was down for the CME and none of the markets opened when they were supposed to. But interesting, I think that we've got a big week ahead with a lot of earnings. You got Apple, you've got a whole bunch of others that are directly related to Apple. And, of course, we've got our good old friends from the Federal Reserve reporting on Wednesday, and what are they gonna do? Which way did he go? What are they gonna do? And the simple answer is, I don't know. That's the simple answer. I don't know what they're gonna do. We know that rates are going higher, and I'm assuming they're gonna go ahead and go up a little bit. But who knows? Only the shadow knows. But we did see last week a spectacular week for earnings, but there was a little bit something that didn't make sense. And of course, actually, it made sense to us. But how come the market didn't go crazy? You had such great earnings. And of course, what that tells you, the sign that that's saying is that, well, the earnings are probably already priced in. And that's something, of course, that we want to make sure that we understand is that if the earnings are priced in already, which we believe that they are, then these good earnings aren't going to have a dramatic effect on the market. In fact, they could have the opposite effect if some earnings miss, because that would bring us down to some selling. And, you know, hey, we think that the tops or the markets are in, but that does not tell you that the markets are going straight down, because, again, we do not believe in that. We do not look at it that way. We just say, hey, this is your opportunity, and here's how we'd like to proceed with that opportunity. And that's just simply looking for right now, looking for good rallies into resistance to be a seller. And of course, like today's market, you know, if we can get to over 2700, you know, or up to 2700, it'd probably be a spot we'd look to take a stay from the short side. But you do have the jobs this week, and, you know, what are they going to be? I mean, I don't even know what they're expecting. But, you know, as low as our unemployment rate is, jobs suck. I mean, they're just not, you know, they're not the jobs of the good variety. They're not the jobs of people that are really making more money. Yes, more people are employed, but not more people are making money. And again, that's the whole key to the jobs, would be the wage growth and where we go from there. And I think that that's not going to improve a heck of a lot here in the next report. But, you know, again, we'll say, you know, we never know. But I think it's fairly evident by the market action. And by if you remember that markets are a forward indicator, they price forward, you know, how much news, you know, what's it going to take, and what's it going to take for the geniuses from the Federal Reserve to do what they're supposed to do? And, you know, we always see that they most likely do nothing, and nothing that's going to benefit anybody anyways. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world that are just even more indications that the bubble is here. The bubble is popping. But again, when will it have the ultimate pop? No, only the shadow knows. Nobody knows, because again, what is going to drive the sellers to be sellers? I mean, the bears have been trampled so many times with false starts that, you know, the bears may become extinct. And of course, you know, I don't believe that, but that's just, you know, make it sound good. So, you know, we'll see. You know, there's nothing really to get overly excited about. I mean, you know, Friday's action was muted, even though it was slightly lower. And with all the great earnings, I think you saw the markets were not really all that enthused. And a lot of that has to do with that they had already previously priced in a lot of that action. So, you know, we'll see what the peace talks look like in North and South Korea. And certainly they've done, you know, so far a pretty good job. We'll see what the rest of the things look like. You know, what's going to go on with the trade wars. And again, you know, the trade wars, I think, are obviously never going to happen, in my opinion. I just think that what you've got here is you've got the two biggest economies trying to jockey for position and how they're going to do it. And, of course, we all know that that China has well taken advantage of the United States because of their status, and they've been kind of in under a different status, you know. It's like, you know, getting senior discount rates when you're not a senior. You know, it's, you know, go to the AARP. You know, I get my discount on my movie tickets. And then when I take my kids, I get them AARP tickets, too. You know, that's what you're trying to do. And I think that's, of course, I don't go to movies, but just an example. But, you know, again, so now they're going to have to, you know, really step up. And if they are really the big economy with us, then they're going to have to become the big economy with us. And I think that is something that, you know, we look for and we will watch and evaluate. But at the end, it's not going to have a problem. Just look at the grain markets. You know, again, I only care about price action. And I continue to say, now, since the debacle of that one fateful Wednesday and even before, soybeans, corn, and wheat are much higher than they were when those things happened. So what does that say? What does that tell you? It tells you that the markets either don't care, they priced it in, or it's not going to be an issue. Any one of those three things is what we're watching and what we should continue to watch. And that's always the point that we want to be concerned about, is how do we get what we need. And we're going to get what we need because we do have a president, in my opinion, that genuinely has the best interests of the United States of America. Now, you might find that hard to believe, but again, I've said this many, many times, I will continue to say it, that you have a president that has the best interests of the United States of America and is really trying to do his best job in spite of everybody trying to knock him down and knock him on his ass. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show on Monday, last day of April. Jeez Louise. You know what happens when you get older? Days just go fly by. April 30th, 2018. And of course, I want to remind you to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. All you have to do is go there and you can download the Bubba Show and help us reach our goal of 1 million downloads a month. And of course, our high school investing program. If you'd like to help us out, go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. That's where we're educating high school kids, and hopefully they'll take us out of this malaise when they get to the right offices. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we will be back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. Back to the Bubba Show with the Jane King Hour, well, at least the Jane King segment, and it is Jane King, Lila Megsmith, the Kaching Report, and also the most talented person that I know. What's up, Jane King?
Hey, Todd. Good morning to you. Just digesting another week. We've got North Korea. Huge news there. I love that the North Korean leader joked with the South Korean leader that he doesn't won't be waking him up anymore with missile tests. I mean, the guy's got a sense of humor. Who knew? We've got Kanye West, just a ton of news coming up this week. It's been another interesting week.
Listen, that's the Trump presidency, right? It creates a lot more buzz. You know, I got to ask you, but I guess it's part of both, but isn't it nice to see a president actually step up and take shots at doing different things and really being a part of the, I think, the solution versus the problem?
Oh, yeah, I love the fact that he's, like, breaking glass and tearing up the store. I mean, I think that's great, and he's just upsetting so many people. And I think it's so interesting how it's clear as day to me what he's doing. And some people just cannot see it at all. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They think he's dangerous. And I see what he's doing in North Korea. I see what he's doing with the economy. But a lot of people don't get it, and they're very angry about it.
And it is amazing how really people are so angry. And again, we don't have to like everybody, right? I mean, as humans, as Americans, we don't have to like everybody. But you should not want your country to fail because you don't like the guy or the gal who's leading it, right?
No, it makes no sense. I mean, I think, like, there's somewhere deep in the genetic structure of people who tend to be Democrats that makes them more emotional. And I think that they're, like, acting out. Like, you would not see Republicans doing this. They wouldn't like people, and they'd be angry about it, and they might do some dumb stuff here and there. But you wouldn't see the mob like you see on Twitter. I don't know if it was Republicans. You wouldn't see Milo Yiannopoulos shouted out of a New York bar by a group of people. You know, that just doesn't – Republicans just don't act like that. And it's just – it's a shame. I mean, I was having a conversation with a guy this week who – Ivy League graduate, native New Yorker, liberal guy. And he's like, I'm sick of this. Like, he was sick of, you know, the crying room at the University of Utah. And he's a young kid. I don't even know if he's 30 yet. And when they've lost him, they've probably lost their base.
It is amazing, and it obviously sad at the same time. But do you think, so let's go what the root of this problem is. Do you think that it's more because of all this social media, because everybody gets to act out and say what they want at any time they want to say it, and you can actually obviously create a much bigger audience now? I mean, does that have a part of the problem, you think?
I think actually there's a lot of things. So I think one is just people, just ever since kind of baby boomers and then younger, people have just been like a little kind of babied in our society, a little spoiled. They want something for nothing. So there's kind of that expectation that you start out with. Then you've got people who are angry, and that's kind of always been there. But now you have a new outlet, which is social media. And then people get on social media and they say certain things, and then somebody else gets angry, and it just feeds upon itself like this blob, like this monster. And everybody just needs to take a breath and take a step back. And you read these stories, like Kanye West. I mean, the guy's got to be super tough to just say. I mean, at some point, you're just kind of like, whatever, say whatever you want. I mean, I get some criticism on Twitter too, and sometimes I respond, sometimes I don't. But nothing compared to what these people are going through. And I mean, you really have to be tough, and you have to stand up for yourself. Now, he does have a new album coming out, so I'm sure the publicity doesn't hurt. He's probably got a whole new group of fans.
Oh, yeah.
But he's lost some, too. I'm sure he's lost some, too. So, anyway, yeah, I think it's a combination of things that's leading to where we're at right now.
Yeah, I mean, the trolls on Twitter, they're always out. You know, I get blasted all the time.
Oh, my God. Like, it's crazy. Like, so, like, people will say stuff to me on Twitter, and they'll be like, oh, you're part of the liberal media or whatever. And I'm like, you have no idea what you're doing, talking to. I mean, like, I don't, you know, whatever. But there's the people who've got a lot more abuse than I have. And, you know, I got to hand it to them for standing up for themselves.
Hey, listen, I have no issue with it. I think it's great. And again, I think that it would be obviously much better if we could just all get along. And, you know, you have your disadvantages, you have your disagreements. But if we could just make the country better, it'd be great. But of course, that won't happen. Happen with what's going on now. And of course, how about that Amazon? They're taking over the world, Jane King. They're putting everybody out of business, and they're just making profits like crazy. crazy. What do you think?
It's ridiculous. I mean, they're just printing money. It won't last. It never does. Apple's been here. Microsoft's been here. But what fascinates me is, like, nobody really knows, except for, you know, some people who work on Wall Street and so forth, where Amazon makes its money, and it's in the cloud computing. I mean, they don't make that much off of retail. It wasn't until they started AWS that they were able to do all this other stuff, buy Whole Foods and venture out into space and do all those things. So it's the cloud computing that's really driving things. I mean, if you look, Microsoft did well from cloud computing. Salesforce is doing well. So cloud computing has really been good for a lot of companies.
Oh, I mean, listen, that's like the Facebook model. I mean, it's not cloud computing, but when you can put the cloud together and you can have people paying basically for something that doesn't cost you very much once you get it up, it's pretty much of a money printing machine. I mean, that's kind of what it is, isn't it?
Well, and Facebook's interesting because, I remember when I first started in the broadcasting business, the guy who owned the local car dealership said, 50% of my advertising budget is wasted. I just don't know which 50%. Facebook kind of starts to eliminate that with the targeted ads. I mean, you know that somebody's looking for a car, or you know that somebody is looking to buy a new pair of kids' rain boots or whatever it is. And so an advertiser, and it opens the doors to smaller businesses, but they can target somebody specifically with something. So the question is, how do you build a brand? I mean, if somebody already kind of knows what they want, how do you build a brand with that? And that's where I think TV still is the best at building brands and becoming just well-known, you know, Coca-Cola and Apple and Procter & Gamble. I mean, all those
are... And Kleenex.
Kleenex. I mean, you know, cereal and, I mean, cranberry juice. I mean, tons of stuff. And that's TV is still best for big brands, but Facebook's good for targeted advertising, no doubt about it.
No, they're unbelievable. I mean, look, as I said, I was on Fox on Wednesday when the earnings came out, and I said, look, I think it could go a little bit lower, but I'm not. I think that they're fine. And again, I think that they'd like to actually like to see a little bit of regulation in that industry, because they've already climbed the mountain, so that they nobody else could catch them because of how much money they make and how far they've gone. So to set regulations in now would actually be an advantage to Facebook. It would keep the competition out. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I think that's a really good point. I mean, 2.2 billion worldwide users. I mean, yeah, nobody's going to catch that. I mean, there'll be someday, you know, Facebook will go away like General Motors or, you know, almost did. But right now, Facebook and Amazon are king.
Last question for you. Tim Cook meeting with President Trump, and of course he's selling his own stock. He doesn't want Trump to be so aggressive on China. What are your thoughts of that meeting, and what do you think came out of it?
Well, you know, I've always kind of, one thing that has not made sense to me over the past couple of years is all these CEOs getting involved in politics. I just think that's the stupidest thing you can do. And Tim Cook was directly involved. You've got Howard Schultz at Starbucks. I mean, on and on and on. And I just think that's why. I don't understand how that benefits your business, and you're there to benefit your business. So I never understood. Tim has kind of backed off a little bit lately, but yeah, I'm sure he's trying to soften things with China. But I think we know that Trump really doesn't listen to anybody but himself. I mean, I don't care, you know, CEO of Apple or whatever. Trump's going to do what he believes that is the best thing to do.
He should listen to Jane King, Lila Max Media, and the Kitchen Report. Jane King, as always, thank you so much, my dear.
Thanks, Todd.
Our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. And of course, her and I are going to do a podcast together pretty soon in the next 2 weeks on the education of our youth. And because Jane and I are both very big believers in trying to teach kids when they're young so they get a feel for it and they understand, actually, we'll call it financial literacy. Unfortunately, we don't teach that. Unfortunately, the teachers, and this is no fault of the teachers, but the teachers don't really understand it either because they weren't taught it. So we're trying to get them away from just the straight old, try to look at a balance sheet and try to understand how markets actually work. And that's what we do in our high school investing programs. If you'd like to help us out, help us help them, which eventually will help your family, hopefully, is to go to highschoolinvesting.com, check out the website, see what we're doing, and then help us out by going to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, make a little donation, and that would help us out tremendously so we can keep this program going. And also, don't forget to download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. you can get the show and help us reach our goals. And plus, we've got tons of other programming 24 hours a day. The truly only automated internet station across the globe. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics and the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show with DominantResearch.com and myself, Todd Bubba Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com, and Matt. You know, we obviously we're making a lot of progress in the cryptocurrency world, as much as the media and everybody likes to fight against it, and as much everybody wants to call it a garbage bubble, and they continue to compare it to tulip mania. In the meantime, the NASDAQ is open to becoming a cryptocurrency exchange, which to me, again, like Deutsche Bank we talked about earlier, the NASDAQ takes it on. We've already seen it at the CME and at the CBOE. I mean, to me, that just brings more credibility. That brings in the opportunity for more cash to come in, which will create more interest, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think some of these guys are, you know, implementing the underlying technology, blockchain. You know, everybody assumes blockchain is the only distributed ledger technology. It's not. There's others, but it is, you know, the mainstream one right now. And it makes sense that, you know, one of the early use cases that was brought up with blockchain was that basically it's just a ledger of transactions that get verified by a computer network, and they happen very quickly. And you know how with stock settlement, it used to take 2 days, or it still takes 2 days.
T plus three. It's the biggest ripoff ever. Because just on the side note, and get my opinion out as I'm firing right now, is it was just a way for the brokers to steal a little bit of money from me because they get to hold that money for 3 days, and that overnight rate is big when it comes down to all the money that's involved. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, get to earn the interest. Sure. So. You know, so now it should go to T plus zero. I mean, it should be instantaneous. So you do the trade, it settles, you know, minutes later. So, you know, it makes sense that the NASDAQ, especially being a market for tech stocks for the most part, that they would, you know, sort of be leading the charge for that. And, you know, Australia, the ASX, has already done so. They've already moved to, you know, T plus zero for stock settlement. So, you know, they're already ahead of the U.S. on that account. But yeah, I mean, the blockchain technology, I don't think at this point, nobody bashes that anymore, which is good. The only thing that they like to bash is the cryptocurrencies themselves. But the underlying technology is useful in a lot of different scenarios. So yeah, I think it's all positive, all lends credibility.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I think that, you know, we've talked about this now. I guess JP Morgan is now testing the blockchain platform to help with debt issuance. So, again, even the guy who said I'd never, ever, right? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that he criticized it. All of a sudden, now he's in, which we all knew. I mean, to me, that was the biggest bunch of horse crap ever when they go no, because you knew they were going to be in, because they're not going to miss an opportunity to make a lot of money. And, of course, there's a lot of money to be made in all of these. In fact, there's probably more money to be made in the blockchain and crypto space for these big banks than anything else right now, because the margins are still higher. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, I 100% agree. I think it was September 12th that Jamie Dimon said that Bitcoin was a fraud and a tulip mania. And if he found out that any of his employees were trading it, they'd be fired. And then that was September 12th. And then this past January, he says he regrets those statements and ever having said them. And I wouldn't call it a 180, but I think he sort of backed off of those comments. He's been relatively consistent about saying, well, the underlying technology is relevant. It's good. So, you know, he's grudgingly accepted that. He's been pretty blatant about saying that anything that will challenge the current system, the central banking system, which he's a big part of, that he's been very negative about it. So I can see why he in particular would hate Bitcoin, would hate any cryptocurrency that would, vie for global currency. That would be very much against his interests, and I can see why he would have a pretty negative opinion.
Now, of course, obviously, depending on your personal opinion of the Fed, I mean, mine is, as the years have gone on, I've gotten more and more negative about the Federal Reserve and J.P. Morgan, one of the starters of the Federal Reserve, and Rothschild, and all the, in my opinion, all the snakes in the grass out there that pulled this off at Jekyll Island. But at the end of the day, does the cryptocurrency world eventually knock the Fed out of the world, out of the business? I mean, to me, that's a very realistic possibility because of the technology and because of where we're headed. And of course, we don't really need to have that central bank to be able to print money. I mean, the real purpose of the central bank was supposed to control the monetary policy if things were going very poorly, but they've obviously stretched that much farther. Do you think that's a possibility that we actually eventually end the Fed because of cryptocurrencies?
I think eventually we do, for a variety of reasons. The technology moves much faster than bureaucracy. It moves much faster than the government. It just evolves. And when it brings in new utility that the old system doesn't have, it's a threat to the old system, and it should be. The only thing is, they're going to fight back, and the issue is, how strongly does a central bank control the government? And if they control it well enough, which they might, I think they can probably do.
I agree.
They can get the government to ban cryptocurrencies at some point. I don't think they're going to be doing it right away, but they're going to put a lot of pressure on crypto market. Once they start feeling that, the fiat system is in danger, it's in peril, then I think they're not going to lose their grip on that power. They're not going to give up their, monopoly on money creation. So it's going to turn into a pretty big battle, I think. But when you have technologies speaking to each other, when you have drones and autonomous vehicles and so forth, they're going to need something other than the current system, the current fiat system. Now, some of these governments out there are creating their own cryptocurrencies to trade alongside. I think India is trying to do that. Norway is. They're trying to come up with Sweden, I think, is coming up with the e-krona. And, it's possible that they end up adopting it, but it's their own national currency, which they control, which kind of just defeats the purpose. It's not decentralized. You still have to go through their system. It just depends on whether the government can fight back hard enough, make it a big enough crime to use other cryptos. So we'll have to see how it plays out. But over time, I would expect that technology moves around these problems.
And I've said for a few years now, even before I understood the cryptocurrency world, I said that this country would have another revolution. I didn't say it would be a fighting revolution. I just said it would be another revolution. And I think that's what the cryptocurrencies represent, is a revolution. And I think that you're going to see that they're going to, fortunately for the crypto people, the government works and runs so slow. And you can say that the Fed is a private organization, but we all know that they're directly tied into the government, that they move too damn slow, and they're going to miss the boat on this. And I think before they know it, it's going to be out from under them. That would be the way I would look at it. What do you think?
I think so too. The only way that they can possibly, win is to just hire a ton of technology, hire all the coders that, you know, just they're going to have to fight technology with technology. Otherwise, they're going to get blown away. And if we're talking about, you know, that's what the Fed could do privately. But if we're talking about the government, yeah, that they're very slow to change. They're very resistant to change. So I see no way that the Congress is going to get anything done on this. It'll just happen because of their incompetence.
I mean, isn't the Fed, don't they act as slow as well, which is why on every single issue when it comes time, like, for example, interest rates right now, interest rates should be higher than they are. You've already told us that you'd expect them to be much higher, and we'll talk about that next segment. But they blow every opportunity to do the right thing. And, of course, I think they'll blow this as well, which is why I do think that this will be a dramatic change. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but I think that the Fed will be far behind, and I think that Ron Paul will finally get his wishes, and you could see the end of the Fed, you know, not tomorrow, but in the next 20 years, I would think.
Yeah, the only thing that I think would really put a bug up their butt and get them moving faster is an existential threat. And if they recognize that that's what it is, if they don't recognize it, then they're screwed. But if they recognize it, they may be able to move fast enough as a private institution. But, again, if they have to get things passed through the government, then maybe they could do it faster. I don't know. But the government
The government's incompetent.
Yeah.
And the Fed is, I think, as incompetent as the government, because they just don't think that anybody can possibly take over what they're doing. And I think that's one of the big issues when we look back in history, and you'll see that, so far in the 105 years that the Fed has been around, they have never once made the right decision at ending one of these ridiculous projects that they use. And I think that becomes the bigger deal. And that is where we find out that they're not going to be able to keep up, because this technology is moving so rapidly. I mean, it went from, the Bitcoin and a couple others. Now there's 2,100 coins, and they just keep coming every day, and you get more wallets, and they're trying to make it easier for most people to understand, like guys like me, because it's very challenging. Even BitterX that I looked at the other day is now, I tried once before, I couldn't figure it out. Now I actually was able to get in. So I don't know. This is Crypto is the Bubba Show with Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com. And we're going to step out here for a break and remind you before we do to go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the Bubba Show each and every day, including the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And we'll be back with more from Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz. We're coming right back to you. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. DemeterResearch.com and myself, Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com. So, Matt, we saw markets which were very, very quiet last week. You had some spectacular earnings, which I know is not up your alley, what you really care about, but they didn't really buoy the market. We're still seeing more new lows than new highs, and I think we're still in an overall downtrend since January 29th. What say you?
I think so. I mean, at the end of Friday, we had that sideways action, and it started that all day Friday practically was sideways. So we pushed sideways out of my declining resistance. So I'm not really it's not far off the where the line should be. So it could be off by a little bit. It could be stuck still the pattern could still be bearish. It may not have broken out. It's just too close to call. But, I have a I'm neutral going into this coming week. I don't want to take a shot on either side until I see a little more action. I could see it go either way here. So I know that doesn't help a lot, but,
No, actually, that does help a lot, just because it means that you should be more neutral. Sometimes, we talk about you. Sometimes you just have to observe the market. You cannot always have a position, because if the markets are right now probably at a decision point, which I think that as we look at some of the products, I think gold is also at a very big decision point, as it did bounce off of very oversold conditions on Friday. But gold looks like it could be, in trouble here if it breaks down below, 1315 or 1310, and it looks like it go back into the 1200s if it breaks. Now, again, I'm not saying it's going to break, but the bounce was easy to call on Friday. It's the question is, what does it do from here? What do you think?
I think it probably goes back to the upside. It landed on this 200-day moving average. That's where it bounced. I think that's what you're referring to. And, I'll say this, if it breaks a 200-day moving average, you're going to get a lot of these, you know, managed money tech funds that just because of the break through the 200, they'll short more, and that'll send it further down. I have support coming in. See, what I'm stuck with is looking at a lot of choppy junk, and I have support coming in at 1286 and then a little bit lower down at about 1260. And those are target supports. I'd love to see them hit because then I could take a long position. The declining resistance that still has not been achieved is now 1397, so a little bit below 1400. Until then, I really don't have there's no major pattern that is being violated, nothing really going on. Everything's being respected, so I'm neutral gold. Silver got whacked really hard too, and it's much closer to support. I have a lot of support lines coming in the 1630s. So the 1630 area is where I would, you know, just below there, I'd put a stop, but I go long right here in the 1650s.
Right, I agree, and I still think that the trade. I don't know how the commercials are positioned, but I think the trade is still long silver, short gold.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great long term trade anyway. You know, like whether it be short term or long term, I think long term for sure. I think the ratio is about 81 now, gold to silver. So that should be more, as you've said before, that should be more like 12. And, you know, that would mean a big outperformance by silver.
At least 40, where it was when they were both at their highs. And it's funny, some guy wrote me an email and says, "You're an idiot." He says, "How's that trade working out for you?" I said, "Well, I did it when it was 82 and now it's 79. So I guess I'm doing okay." I don't know. Maybe you don't know how to do math. Maybe you should try to figure it out. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, yeah. I get these trolls all the time that send nonsense, you know, over ignorance. But at the end of the day, so as we look at oil, now oil got your, I think your target was declining and it was at 70, it was incline, I forgot, but it was near 70 last we chatted. And of course, to me, oil looks like it's cooked now. I mean, it may be making just a flag, but it looks to me like it's headed lower. But you may have a higher target, so tell us what you think.
Well, my target is inclining, but now that we've rolled over to the June contract, it's a little bit lower because of the roll. It's at $70.25. So, you know, we came close again. We got to 69.70 about a week ago. So, you know, it came close again. It just didn't quite hit the line. So I'm heavily short here. If it has to go all the way up to, you know, $70.25, and that line's rising by about 5 cents a day, you know, so be it. I'll wait that out. But I agree. I think that oil is getting close to being done in the short term, and long term it's done.
We both have a target that we don't talk about because, you know, I don't make ridiculous calls like that, but we do think that the 1990s are coming back at some point, and I'm not talking about the price, I'm talking about the year.
Yep.
Where it's going to eventually end up, because we shouldn't be in this much of a demand for oil because of all the other natural resources, but that's a story for another day. But as we look, you know, at some of the things that are going on, and of course, as you've said and repeatedly said on this show, the dollar is going up. 88, if as long as it's above 88, it's going up, and we broke out pretty hard. I thought that it was interesting. I thought it was going to fail once again at 91 because of the way that it went up to 91, but it actually did break through it like nothing, and it really pushed higher, pushing the euro currency significantly lower as well. What's your look from here?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. So that break of 91 I thought was pretty significant. It had one day where, you know, went up, tested it, closed on it, pulled back a little bit, and then on Thursday, popped right through. And I like to see that now it's coming back down. I'd like to see, you know, ideally, you don't always get exactly what you want, but ideally, it will come back down to 91 and then bounce back to the upside and take off. And if it does, then I think we're going a lot higher. I think we're going,
111, you know, or 120 something. 127, I think.
120, low 120s, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I think my personal opinion is that we get the par this year. I don't know if we can get there or not, but I think we're getting the par this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's totally doable. I mean, it was tough watching the dollar just chop between what 88 essentially and
88 90 forever. It was like getting a tooth pulled
for 4 months, and now we've finally had a breakout. So I think now that we've had the breakout, I think, you know, reaching par is pretty doable with the remainder of the year.
And then, of course, interest rates, which you've been pretty much on top of. Now, we were above 3% in the 10-year. We closed just below it, but we were well above it for a little bit. But to me, that's just a little bit of a balance. I mean, I know you think interest rates are going much, much higher over time. But what's your short-term view from here now with the interest rates?
Very short-term view is hard. It's a hard read. But I would think we're coming down in the 10-year rate first, before we have another launch to the upside. If you look at, I mean, that's what I have looking at the chart, that we should probably pull back. How much is unclear, but the you know, if I look at TLT, I'm still looking for a top at 130. It's declining, so that could take a while. And if I look at commercial positioning, they have a record long position in the 10-year treasury. So that would, if you're long treasuries, you're bearish, the bearish rate.
Yeah, of course.
So they're very bearish, the 10-year rate. I see it, you know, indicators are a bit overbought. So overall, I think short term, I think 10-year rate, you know, pulls back. And then I think we could get a bigger move to the upside. But I don't see it happening right away.
So now I know, listen, I don't want to do this to you, but just your opinion is really what I'm looking for. This year, I see the 10-year getting to 4% this year. I know you see much higher in long term, but is 4% unrealistic for this year?
No, not at all. I think it's totally realistic. And, you know, it's just a matter of how, you know, I think we'll get this pullback in the 10-year rate. It's one of those things, though. It's like what we were talking about with the dollar. You can sit there for 4 months having nothing happen. So if that happens, yeah, then maybe we don't see 4% this year. But otherwise, I see no reason why we wouldn't. I think, because, you know, as I said, I eventually believe we're going to 11%, but that could take many years.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, so 4%, sure. Definitely right. Doable this year.
Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. As always, Crypto Investor X, we appreciate it. And make sure you check out CryptoInvestorX.com. Matt, thanks so much. Always great to have you on.
Todd, it's always great to be here. Thanks a lot.
And that will do it for today's show. And as always, we appreciate you being here. And make sure you check out CryptoInvestorX.com and get those free reports that Matt puts together for you. Because, again, at the end of the day, he's trying to help educate you in not only equities, but in the crypto space. And that'll do it for today. We'll see you back here next week. Same time, same station. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you later.
Turn the quiet up.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.